In 2003, Nike signed 13-year-old Freddie Adu to a seven-figure contract. But Freddie didn't live up to the hype. He has turned down every single documentary project looking closely at the details of his career. Until now.
People are going to look at everything you did because of the hype surrounding your arrival and what they think you can be.
I'm Grant Wall, and this is American Prodigy, Freddie Adu, from Blue Wire Podcasts.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to this is the 13th edition of Top Rope Nation Classics. I just looked it up, the Patreon exclusive bonus podcast of Top Rope Nation. So if you're a patron of the show, thank you so much for supporting what we do, making these bonus podcasts possible. The archive is getting bigger and bigger each month. If you got a show that you want to see us review, let us know on the Patreon page. There's a discussion board on there, you know, or just leave us a comment on one of the posts. If you're listening to the free preview, hopefully you guys enjoy what you're about to hear. And if you want to hear the whole show, go over to patreon.com/toprope nation. Sign up to support the show. You get a free gift for signing up. And you also get all those bonus podcasts in the past that I just mentioned. The 13 editions of Top Rope Nation Classics, as well as 9 editions of Top Rope Nation Extra. So in total, 22 bonus podcasts. The minute you sign up, check it out. I think it's well worth it. Some of you might be watching right now as we record live. This video will always remain private, exclusively for patrons, but we are recording live. It's Thursday night, and it is just 3 days before the 30th anniversary to the day of Survivor Series 1990, so we thought that this was one that was worth doing. Of course, the show is getting a lot of publicity this year because of The Undertaker and the celebration that's going on there, so Kyle, I think it was your idea. I think you suggested it, Survivor Series 90. You ready to go for this one?
I am back from a little bit of a mini vacation, had some Taco John's, got a few days off of social media, and I'm ready to go, man. Talk 1990 wrestling. What a life I live.
How many tacos did you eat in that one sitting?
5, and I was kind enough to give one to my daughter, which I immediately regretted because I started yelling at people. I'm like, who ate the other taco? And Cammy's like, you ate them all, and I'm sort of grossed out right now because that was really quick. Not the first time she said that to me, by the way. Hey-o!
There's the kind of content you get on Patreon.
By the way, you may want to mix my levels. I think I like hit the bar, Ryan, while you were doing your intro, and I think this beer can was sort of spilling, just a little behind the scenes that our patrons get. That's real classic.
That's all right, man. I can handle it. I got it. We've done, including Patreon and then the main feed, we've done over 200 shows now. We're coming up on the episode 200 on the flagship, but when you include the Patreon, we're over 200 shows deep at this time, so I've got some practice editing, and so we're ready to go, I think.
I don't believe anyone does it better.
That's right. That's what I like to hear. Justin, what's going on?
Not much, man. I'm just excited for, you know, at the end of the show where Kyle's going to do his rendition of Baby Shark.
I'm pretty sure I think we were streaming live to Patreon when he started doing that. I think that's on the feed. You have to rewind and see if you're watching this. If you're watching the live feed, you can also see that Kyle and myself wore the same t-shirt, the black and gold Top Rope Nation podcast, established 2016. I love this sport. I think this is our best shirt, I have to say. We did not plan this, but we're twinning and we're ready to go. So Survivor Series 90, this was a trip, guys, to go back and watch.
I just want to say, I don't know what Justin's talking about with Baby Shark. I don't know anything about that.
As I'm talking now, I'm hearing that in the background of my head. Just having young children, it's hard not to. Start humming these songs, man. They get ingrained. Justin doing the motions. Love it. Oh, boy. Well, you know what? At the time of Survivor Series 1990, I wasn't long removed from my Baby Shark days of when I was listening to that style of music. Because I was 6 wow. years old.
That was a strong segue. Very good. Oh.
I mean, I was almost 7. I was turning 7 a couple months wow. later. I was in second grade.
You nerd. You were listening to the equivalent of Baby Shark in 7? Wow.
No, I wasn't long removed, I said. Oh, I wasn't too far. I see. It wasn't too far removed from the kiddie music at that point in time. But You guys are a little bit older than me. I mean, we were all in elementary school around this time. What were you guys, about third, fourth grade? I think I was in, God, I would have been in first grade. First grade, Survivor Series 90. I mean, what was the state of your fandom as a wrestling fan, Justin, in the fall of 1990?
I was a pretty high level mark at this point, absolutely in love with Ultimate Warrior and Hulk Hogan. Although I will say this is about the point where I'm starting to transition. I'm noticing guys like Bret Hart in Mr. Perfect was a revelation where it's like, wait, am I supposed to kind of actually like a bad guy? Just because he was so good in the ring. Yeah. But yeah, I especially love this Survivor Series just because I remember renting it all the time.
Yeah. I hadn't seen this one in a long time, but same with you. I know the local Blockbuster had this one, and I rented it many times as a kid. Kyle, and what was the state of your fandom? I'm sure you didn't miss a show in 1990, knowing you.
No, I was in fifth grade, I want to say. It sounds about right. And yeah, I was a pretty big fan of the World Wrestling Federation and all it had to offer in the fall of 1990. I've seen the show many times. I actually debated, because I was on said mini vacation earlier this week, I was wondering to myself, did I even need to rewatch it? I've seen it so many times. I said, you know, let's be a pro. Let's rewatch it. Glad I did. Picked up a few extra things, you know. You know, it doesn't matter how many dozens of times you see something. You'll always pick up something new. And yeah, yeah, it was, I'll say this. It's kind of weird that my fandom was so high, because I look back at 1990. It's not a very good year for the promotion. And it clearly was about to, you know, start, you know, in its descent in popularity, if it already hadn't over the course of the year. But, you know, 10-year-old Kyle heard none of that.
Well, you, I mean, you looked at the entire year of 1990 not too long ago with our friend Liam O'Rourke over at Squared Circle Gazette. You guys are doing a 1991 series right now. So you want a real deep dive on WWF creative and everything going on for that full year. Highly recommend checking it out. Liam's a patron of the show. So hello, Liam. Thank you for your support.
And what's great though, is we didn't really go hardcore into any of the individual pay-per-views. So this is cool. So I'll get to go even deeper.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, 1990, I don't really remember too much, you know, watching the weekly television, but I remember kind of the bigger shows. Of course, I remember like the aftermath of WrestleMania 6 and renting it not long after the show happened. So I was watching wrestling around this time, but like I said, I was in first grade. So my memories of it aren't very clear. And the first time I really remember taking in this show, I was quite a bit older. So, but yeah, it was fun to go back and watch it and everything. We're going to get into it here in just a minute, but one of the things we like to do on Top Rope Nation Classics, if you've never heard it before, if you're a veteran, you know we like to do this, is just kind of look at the lay of the land and popular culture as the event was happening. Now, I will say that we did review SummerSlam 91 in the archives. Check it out if you haven't heard it. That's a great show. It was one of the first Top Rope Nation Classics we did. It actually might have been the first one. I'm not sure. One of the first couple. So some of these, you know, some of the stats and figures on 1990, it'd be pretty close in the summer of 91. So I didn't go as in depth as I usually do for this one, but I thought we'd look at, you know, music and movies around the time of November, late November 1990. And the number one song the week of Survivor Series 90 was by Mariah Carey, Love Takes Time.
Did you have the Poison Flesh and Blood tape yet at that point?
Oh, you bet your bottom dollar I did.
Okay, there we go.
I was cranking that bad boy all the time. Yeah, hey, if you want to start this podcast with a great song, you pick just about anyone off of that classic album.
Well, I may have to, because I can't start it with Mariah Carey. The song is way too slow. I mean, you know.
I didn't know that Mariah Carey song. I mean, I'm not going
to
say.
Song. I actually had to look it up last night because I didn't know it offhand either. But it's too slow to start a podcast off, too. Yeah. So I'm going to have to break that tradition. All the past Top Rope classics, I think pretty much all of them, I've started with what the number one song was that week. And as I was listening to it, it was like, no, I can't do it. There's no way.
I too had Flesh and Blood, Justin, and it would have been at this point that I was begging my parents to also get me Cherry Pie by Warrant, but my mom, man, she put her freaking foot in the ground. She did not let me get that, man.
I was only rocking tape, out to,
I was only tape out they to never Uncle let Tom's. Me get. Love Uncle Tom's Cabin.
Yes, yes. That's what I was going to say.
Rocks, rocks.
Oh, great albums.
Oh, and yes, that was a reference to a tape you just heard, cassette tapes back in the day.
Yeah, we are old.
Yes.
You mentioned that this Survivor Series took place on Thanksgiving proper. It was the last one to do so.
Oh, really? Okay. Yes. I did not.
They moved to Thanksgiving Eve the following year. And then, you know, eventually have just kind of moved off the weekend altogether and just on Sunday proper, just some random Sunday in November, they choose to do it.
Football is back in full swing. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. And don't forget to use promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. 2020 has already reshaped how we work, and it's almost over. Businesses across the globe are challenged to be their most efficient, which means every hire is critical. Indeed is here to help. Indeed is the number one job site in the world with more total visits than any other job site, according to ComScore. Indeed helps you find quality candidates quickly, so you can focus on hiring the person you need to keep your business going. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. And now, Indeed's new way of matching you with candidates instantly delivers a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria that you can contact the moment you sponsor a job, making Indeed the only job site that can move as fast as you do. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through December 31st. Terms and conditions apply.
The theory behind, you know, Thanksgiving, you doing a big show, was families want to go out after they're done eating. Of course, Vince also wanted to counteract Crockett's debut. We talked about this, Ryan, I believe, in a show that will be up already with the first Survivor Series. He wanted to counteract Starrcade, which is why the show was originally placed on Thanksgiving. But I guess the lesson learned is, while it was a good night, maybe, for families to go out Thanksgiving, it wasn't necessarily a great night to order a pay-per-view. Right. And that's why they moved it off Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Yeah, our history of the Survivor Series show that Kyle and I did back, it was episode 13 in mid-November of 2016. I clipped the portion of it for this week's show as we record, so the one that's going to drop on Friday, November 20th. It's about a half hour, and me and him really did a deep dive on how Survivor Series got started and all the drama with Crockett, and really how Crockett had gotten to the point where they were, you know, competing with McMahon. We went through, I mean, it's in depth. We talk about Georgia Championship Wrestling, how Vince was on TBS, you know, back in 84. Listening to that, Kyle, I mean, we were only 13 episodes deep into the podcast. It was good stuff. I mean, I could tell listening back that I had grown a little bit as a podcast host, but I had to make some edits here and there. But overall, I mean, the information was solid. So hopefully people on a regular feed enjoy listening to that, because I think not a lot of people were probably listening to us 4 years ago that are now. And so it's probably new to them. And it was a really great history piece, I think.
Do you know what's funny is I remember that podcast, because when it was done, that was when I decided that you probably figured out that you know, if you give me an inch, I'll take a mile, man. Because I think the whole plan was to go over the history of Survivor Series. And like 35 minutes in, we were on like 1988. And you were like, just, I could tell, panicking. And you're like, oh my God.
The whole show is like 2.5 hours. We did the history, and then we did 87, 88, and 89. So this is perfect, because we did actually review those full shows on that podcast. And so on the regular feed, the show that dropped you know, Friday, November 20th of this year, I just did the history piece, and then it fades out, and I say at the end, if you want to hear the whole show, go back in the archives, and you can hear the full 87 through 89. So after this podcast, guys, we will have covered the first four, which is kind of cool.
And we kind of talked about Survivor Series 91 in a previous Top Rotation Classic when we did This Tuesday in Texas.
Yeah.
Which happened in the shadow of that. So.
Yeah, absolutely. So to round out the sports.
Mr. President Saddam Hussein, I'm charging you double. We going to make you pay through the nose.
So we are at the Hartford Civic Center in Hartford, Connecticut, future home to WrestleMania 11. we got 16,000 fans on hand for this show. It looks to be sold out. And right off the bat, guys, we are welcomed by Gorilla Monsoon and no longer Jesse Ventura. It's Mr. Rowdy Roddy Piper, who looks, I think, throughout the show, looks very Hollywood. He looks like you can tell he has makeup on. He looks a little bit different. He's amped up. He's ready to go. I mean, they're talking about, and you and Liam, Kyle, talk about, you know, the Saddam Hussein and Sergeant Slaughter stuff a lot in the first episode of your 1991 series you're doing right now on Squared Circle Gazette. And we get, I mean, right off the bat, they're talking about the Middle East. The show is airing on the Armed Forces Network. We're not quite at war with Iraq yet, but it's coming. And Piper goes, Mr. Saddam Hussein, I'm charging you double. We're going to make you pay through the nose. What do you guys think of this open?
Roddy was real hit or miss on commentary during this run. He was still kind of feeling himself out. I don't think he knew what he wanted to be really the whole time. I liked the Vince Piper Savage team on Superstars when they got to that in 91. How they, you know, Piper and Savage do their banter and Vince would try to get him to focus. I certainly like a show we did before SummerSlam 91. When it was Piper, Monsoon, and Heenan, because Piper and Heenan just went back and forth, and that was very funny. But, I don't know. Piper, he did that on another pay-per-view, too. He made an Iraq reference. He said, something's hot, and Baghdad's not. Yeah. Because the reason he said that is they made this for free to all the people, to all the armed forces watching. Over in Baghdad, because Desert Shield was going on, not to be confused with Desert Storm, but we did have troops over there awaiting the UN deadline. And as you said, spoiler alert, Saddam does not withdraw from Kuwait. But I don't know. I guess he just had to do it. I mean, the exploitation would get worse. I mean, trust me, if that's the only Iraq reference we got on WWE television for this era, I would have taken it, but it descends into madness.
How about that opening, by the way? Yeah, the listeners heard it as we went back in time here. Kyle, you have in the show notes, how much would a podcast pay to have Vince McMahon do the intro? I mean, Vince was awesome on those intros. We talked about the SummerSlam 91 show. That's probably my all-time favorite Vince intro, SummerSlam 91. But they're all pretty good. I mean, he is so over the top and perfect in that role.
Ryan Drosty, Justin Joint, Kyle Ross. Top Rope Nation. Yeah, like, I mean, my God. I mean, if there was like a bidding war among wrestling podcasts to have Vince is like, I'll do it for one podcast. The sacrifices have been made. The time for the
talking. You know what I was really taken aback by was from that promo was just seeing Kerry Von Erich next to Ultimate Warrior. I mean, he's the exact same size as Ultimate Warrior. And it just really makes me wonder that if he had maybe been in a better headspace and not lost his foot in the motorcycle accident, what his ceiling could have been for a WWF run. Mm-hmm.
There's always the theory that, well, first of all, we should address the rumor. Remember when everyone thought Kerry Von Erich was the second Ultimate Warrior in 1992? That atrocious rumor. And it's like anyone else could be the Ultimate Warrior besides Jim Hellwig. But, you know, people always say, if it wasn't Hogan, who could Vince have gone national behind back in 84? And people throw out the name Kerry Von Erich. I mean, he was as hot as anybody in 1983, and obviously he won the NWA title. He had a real cup of coffee within 84, but he couldn't be trusted because he had a lot of personal demons. And I can start this match off with a real somber note. So you mentioned Axe was on his way out of the promotion. Didn't even bother to wet his hair, by the way, for this match. I believe this is his last appearance. Yet, despite the fact that Axe is the one, Bill Eady, battling the health issues, was a heart issue, he's one of only two people from this match still alive.
I noticed that too, watching it.
That entire Warriors team with Road Warrior Animal recently passing away, the entire Warriors team has passed away.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, I had not thought about that.
Yep, the original Demolition is all that's out there. And you guys talked about this on your 1990 series, but I mean, Demolition and the Road Warriors was kind of like the dream match between the two big promotions, and that before the Road Warriors arrived in WWF, and we never really got, you know, the match that people wanted to see, because like you said, Axe was on his way out. He had heart problems. Supposedly it stemmed from